Blog Talk Radio.
Once again, I want to thank you for joining our show today. I am your host, Wanda McKinley, along with my co-host, Stephanie Kennedy Alford. I am the founder of We Are Survivors, which is a nonprofit organization. Our purpose is to provide a stable environment for abused and battered men, women, and children by providing temporary shelter, counseling, and employment training. We want to help individuals transition from abusive situations to being self-sufficient in society. We Are Survivors' vision is to empower men and women and to show them that they can and will survive and thrive in society on their own, as well as to uplift them and provide them with a new life, with a new perspective of what a normal life should be by enhancing and elevating them. I am a survivor of domestic violence. I was molested from the age of 7 to 12 by my biological father. By the age of 13, I was raped by my stepfather and also by my biological father. The rape continued until the age of 18. My ex-husband was also abusive. I met him at the age of 19. He was sexually, financially, verbally, emotionally, and physically abusive, and I was with him for 12 years. God has called me to be transparent so that I may help other men, women, and children who have walked or may still be walking in my shoes. Stephanie, how are you doing today?
I am wonderful. What about yourself?
I am wonderful and I'm good, and I'm actually sitting here watching. I have my TV on. Of course, it's muted because you can't hear it. And a developing story is crossed the screen, and at R.L. Turner High School in Carrollton, a teacher was arrested. Because it's muted, I can't tell you what it's about. But we all know that that can't be anything good.
Right.
Can't be anything good. So today we're going to do something different because we have a guest on that is only with us until about 6:45. So those who are listening, she will be cutting out early. Normally we go into our fundraising events and our events that we have planned, because we do have a black tie benefit concert next Saturday. I will say that now. I will repeat it at the end of the show because I'll give you the information to how you can go buy tickets. I think right now they're reasonable. I think 47. I don't know why that number is in my head, but before I pull that actually out and validate it, I need to confirm. But I do want to bring that to everyone's attention, that We Are Survivors has a black tie benefit concert in honor of We Are Survivors. And hopefully Sonya can come out too. I'll talk to her a little bit more about that. I want to first thank those that do support us. We Are Survivors do have a new live streaming, keyword is live, streaming radio/television show. Our first show was last Friday. We have a Facebook page called We Are Survivors with Wanda McKinley. Please go out there, like it, view our video. We need to support. We are learning the ups and downs now about television show because we have numbers. Isn't that something? We have numbers too we have to meet. And I know there are so many survivors and victims of domestic violence, and the show is catered around and for us. It is catered to show support, give you an avenue to see others. The entire panel on the show are survivors. It's not someone that can't relate to you. It's not someone that doesn't understand. Everyone that is on the show is a survivor of domestic violence. And, of course, without further ado, because for those who know, I wind up talking a whole lot, even though I really don't like to talk a whole lot, I'm going to be quiet so that we can hear from our guest. Our guest was referred to us by a pastor in the Lancaster, Texas community. I want to thank Reverend Alton Dixon. Thank you so much for the referral. Ms. Moore is actually, I say fresh because it's been 3 months. And for survivors, that's, you know, hey, a year, a day, a week, we're just glad to be out of the situation. But she was in a domestic violence situation, and she left the situation 3 months ago. We are going to allow her to tell her story. I thank God that He has given her the strength so soon to be able to talk about what occurred, what happened, the motivation that gave her the strength to leave, because as we know as survivors, it varies for all of us. Some of us, it's not us that we leave for, it's for our children. It varies why we leave situations. And, you know, it's not for a victim, we're broken down already. So it's sometimes we had to find strength through someone else, be it a family member, a friend, a child, whatever the situation may be. So without further ado, I do want to introduce Ms. Sonya Moore. How are you doing today?
Hi, I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm great. I might be a little bit sleepy. I'm always sleepy, but I'm going to push through. I do so much. I don't have time to sleep. But I'm really excited for you. I'm really excited that you're making and taking this jump. This is a jump. Into talking about what you've gone through so early, I commend you.
Yeah.
Because it took me several years, and I mean several. The abuse ended. I didn't talk about it till start talking about it till 2.5 years ago, and I was abused for 24 consecutive years.
Mm.
I've been abused over half of my life. So I commend you, and I'm going to stop talking and allow you to tell us your story.
All right. Amen. Amen. Well, this is my story, and my story is for God's glory. And, you know, I take a line out from The Color Purple, and I say all my life I had to fight, and that's fight men, fight guys. My first abusive relationship was at the age of 15 years old. Which was my first relationship. My second abusive relationship was at the age of 17 years old. And, I mean, these relationships were physical. They were mental and verbal abusive relationships. My third abusive relationship was at the age of 22 years old, in which that relationship almost lost my life. My fourth abusive relationship was at the age of 27 years old. I was married for 11 years, and in this relationship, I was the abuser. My fifth abusive relationship was here recently, at the age of 40. And like you said, I just got out of that relationship after going back. I was in that relationship for about 5 years, and it was an off and on relationship, and it was abusive from the beginning on to the end. And the reason I left this last relationship was because of my children. It wasn't really because of me. Yes, I was tired of going through the abuse, tired of taking the abuse, tired of fighting, tired of getting fought on, tired of having to fight back. By this time, this last relationship, I knew that I had changed. I knew that abusive relationships was not where I wanted to be. I knew that it was not what I wanted to be in. And I left because of my children, because I didn't want my children to grow up and think that it was okay, that it's okay to be in abusive relationships. I didn't want my sons to feel like it was okay to fight on women. I didn't want my daughters to feel like it's okay for a man to hit them.
I felt that, like I say, my first abusive relationship was at the age of 15 years old, which was my first relationship. The guy was very controlling, very jealous. It always starts off with the guys being jealous, you know. A little history on me. My self-esteem was very low, even when I began dating, because of the way that I grew up. I practically had to raise myself. My mom was addicted to crack cocaine. I never knew my father, and so I pretty much raised myself. And I believe one thing that I always searched for in a relationship was a father figure. And so the type of men that I would look for would be the type of men that seem to be strong, seem to have it all together, know where they're going, know what they want in life. I was looking for someone to lead me. And I believe that was my downfall, because even though some of these guys had good characteristics, but they also had bad characteristics, which were abusive. By me not having the proper upbringing, I didn't know what love was. And so, therefore, I accepted the abuse as love. That was one reason why I repeatedly got into these type of relationships, because I figured if he wasn't calling my phone and going through my phone, that he didn't love me. I didn't know at the time that that was not love. And so, you know, after going through all of that abuse, all of the ins and the outs and the going back and the breaking up and getting back with this person, this last relationship, like I said, I knew that this is not where I wanted to be. This is not the way that I wanted to go. This was not right. By this time, I had a sense of this is not love. It can't be love. This is not love. And this wasn't something that my mother taught me. I learned by listening to other people's stories, listening to reading books, reading magazines on abuse, watching television shows and things like that on abuse, and what a healthy relationship is versus a non-healthy relationship. See, I had to learn these things. I call myself a late bloomer because these are things that you would learn growing up as a child, you know, that your parents would teach you these things, but I call myself a late bloomer because a lot of these things I didn't learn until I was well into my mid-30s, on my way to my 40s. And even now, I'm still learning some things. And so, you know, my message today will be basically love doesn't hurt. Okay? It doesn't hurt. No shape, form, or fashion. Love yourself. Know the signs of abuse. Because even in this last relationship, I saw the signs, but I totally ignored the signs. I totally ignored them until it was too late. Know the signs of abuse and know the signs of an abuser. I myself was an abuser. Like I say, when I got married, I was married 11 years, and I was the verbal abuser. I was the physical abuser. My ex-husband, and he straight up told me, I don't fight women. And if you're looking for somebody to fight on you, you need to find another man. And when he would turn and walk away from me, I would go and run and jump on his back. You know, I would slap him in his face. You know, I would do things that would make a man want to reach out and grab you. And I honestly felt that it was something wrong. I felt that he was less of a man because he didn't put his hands on me. How now, wrong was that?
Why, when you said you did those things, do you know what made you start doing those things?
I've always been an angry child. I was an angry child, for one thing, which was never counseled. I never received the help that I needed from the way that I grew up. And so I became an angry person.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry?
I think you were kind of acting out.
Yeah, I was acting out. I was mad. I was angry. I was hurt, and everything. And so I wanted my way. I was very aggressive. I wanted what I wanted. I was used to being in control. I was used to everything has to go my way. And I learned those things from being a child having to be an adult. You understand what I'm saying? Because my mom was addicted to crack cocaine. And I was abandoned also as a child. She abandoned me and my brother. And so I had to raise myself and live. I lived from here to there. And that's how I even ended up in a relationship at the age of 14. And so because of that, like I say, I was very aggressive, very angry. If you didn't do it my way, I'm going to hurt you. And I believe a lot of that also was a learned behavior from guys fighting on me. And so by the time I was married and I got with someone who didn't fight me back, I felt that he was weak. What's wrong with you? You know, and you ask what would make me latch out at him like that, what would make me do those things, because he wouldn't do or he wouldn't respond a certain way that I wanted him to respond. And so if I could say anything to help other young adults, other teenagers, because I was a teenager when I first experienced dating abuse, and it carried on,
Sonya,
into, yes. I'm listening.
Can you, I want you to, because I did write down your first abusive situation was at 15, and then your second one was at 17. I just met a 19-year-old mm-hmm. Sunday, and this young lady touched my heart, so it was amazing. When she walked in, we met her boyfriend's mother, more like her guardian, because her mother also is a drug abuser. And it was so bad for her that she went and put herself in foster care to get out at the age of 15, to get out of what she was going through. And when she walked into the place where we met at Tilly's, I went to reach to hug her, because I'm a hugger. And I reached to hug her, and she said, "I'm sorry, I don't really know how to respond to that." And I was like, "Okay." I said, "It's not a problem, honey, I understand." You know, she didn't know my story. I knew something about her. But she didn't know she was meeting a mirror of her. So after mm-hmm. I went and started talking to her and telling her what I went through as a teenager, it is so many, and Stephanie can also agree with me with this, because we speak at high schools. It is so many teenagers that are hurting and that are going through things. And when I broke down to this young lady, the age I was when my abuse began, the things that I've experienced and what I went through, she sat at the table and she bawled and she cried because she's tried to commit suicide over twice. I want to say three times, but I'm going to say twice. She's been in and out of Timberland. They've put her on all kinds of medications that she refuses to take. And her thing is she just wants to help teenage girls because of what she's gone through. She even had a teenage girl reach out to her that was about to drive off a bridge. She talked her out of that.
Yeah, that was me.
So as you, So as you, as this teenager that has gone through some things, can you talk to the teenage audience that's listening?
Yes. I know what you're going through. I was that teenager that had to raise myself because my mom was not there. My mom was on drugs mostly all of my life. I understand your pain. I know how it is. It's embarrassing. You know, you feel alone because you don't want anybody else to know. You don't want your friends to know, your peers to know what you're going through. I mean, in a way, you do want to reach out, But in a way, you're afraid, you're lonely, you're hurting, you feel like it's not fair. I understand all that. You want to commit suicide because the burden is so heavy. It's so heavy and it's so much going on, you don't know what to do with it. And it's a lot that you don't know because you're a child. And a lot of responsibility have been placed on you, and it's not fair. I honestly don't know how I got through. I started out writing a book, but then I put it down because I couldn't deal with it emotionally. The replaying of my past, the replaying of the abandonment, the replaying of the abuse, the replaying of this and that in my mind, I couldn't handle it. And in my book, I always said that God always placed an angel along my path to help me along the way. I was a teenager. I was a teenage mom when I was 16. I had my first child when I was 16 years old. I know the struggle. I almost didn't graduate. But God placed an angel in my path, a little lady who kept kids. She kept my baby. I worked on the weekend, and I went to school. There was a lady that my aunt knew. I got a job through her. Worked on Saturdays, $50 a day. I bought my own school clothes. I bought my own school materials. I put myself through school. I honestly don't know how I did it. I have friends right today. I would ask your mom, can I spend a night? Ask your granny, can I spend a night? Because I was a homeless teenager. And then a lady took me in. And this lady, I used to babysit her daughter for her. When I was probably 11 years old, this lady worked at night. She lived in our apartments, and I would babysit her daughter for her. But she saw me walking the streets one night, and I was pregnant with my first child. And she asked me, where's your mom? I told her where my mom was, in Louisiana. This lady took me in. God always placed an angel somewhere along my path. And what I'm saying to you is that you're alive today because God always placed an angel in your path, someone to help you along the way in the midst of your struggles. Continue to hold on. The young lady that almost ran over off the bridge, I was there too. I was on drugs. I used to be on PCP, marijuana, drink. I was a stripper. You named it. I did it. I hustled. I sold drugs any way I could make it. I sold my body any way I could make it because that's all I knew. I say the streets raised me because that's all I knew. Hold on. You're alive for a reason. Tell your story. It's going to heal you. I know it hurts, but I'm 43, and I'm just now telling my story because God told me that's how I'll be healed. I don't want to continue to repeat the same cycle. I'm not. It has to stop somewhere, and it stops with me. If any of you teenagers, you young ladies, you have children, you have to stop the cycle so your children won't go through it.
That is powerful. Thank you. And you said something that is so true. And it is nothing to be ashamed of because that is all you knew. And when you say you hustled, you sold your body, the drugs, let me tell you something. Because I was molested as early as I can remember, and I knew in my heart, and I'm praying God revealed it to me. I know I was younger than 7, but that's just when my mother walked in on my father at the age of 7. So that traumatic event is what stuck in my head. But because my father told me that as long as what I have between my legs as a girl, I'll never go broke, never.
And unfortunately for some of us, that's what we know. And I was very promiscuous. I used to call, you know, my vajayjay at ATM because, baby, in order for you to make a deposit, I had to make a withdrawal. You had to give me something. So, you know, that's what we knew. And I'm not ashamed of it. I've learned that was just, that was our life. You know, we didn't have a childhood. So we didn't know, you know, we had a sense, this is not right, but how else am I supposed to live? How else am I supposed to survive?
Because
this is the cards that were dealt to me. So
that's right.
People, you know, I kind of like, my ATM is retired. Because I don't pimp myself out anymore. And at the time, you know, when I told my daughter finally about all of this, and like I said, the videos and the shopping sprees and the sugar daddies, that was me at 13. I said, so what you see on TV, I've done that. I've been there. That's old to me because that was my life. But I was brought up pretty face. You know, the big behind, small ways. Whatever you want, you can get it because you have something that every man wants. My dad didn't teach me how to tie my shoes. My dad taught me how to manipulate men.
Yep.
And that's what I did. So now, yes, you're so right. As because of what we've experienced, because of what we've gone through, these younger females, we can reach down to them and say it's not your fault. When we have that person to say, hey, this is not your fault. You're not alone. You don't have to be quiet. We're here to help you. We're here to listen. We're not going to judge you. We're not going to ask you why. Why did you stay there? Why did you do that? We are brainwashed into doing a lot of what we do because that's what we know.
That's right.
So, when you said that, I was like, you know, we all did what we had to do at that particular moment in time. And for us, at that moment, that was the right thing and the only thing to do. And I think that's why a lot of women feel ashamed because of what we do or what we accept at the time.
Yeah. And another reason I think we are ashamed, I think we are ashamed because we are different. We're different than the women who never experienced what we experienced. And because they never experienced what we experienced, they have a different look at us. They look at us differently.
Right.
They may be more quick to judge, you see. And that's how I looked at my friends. I didn't know some of the people that I went to school with, they probably were going through some of the things that I went through. But at that time, I felt like I was the only one going through what I went through. And so I isolated myself a lot of time because I was a child dealing with grown folk issues.
Right.
I had to worry about where am I going to sleep tonight? I had to worry about what am I going to eat? And then I had a child, you know, and I'm talking when I was pregnant. You know, I was a child that had grown folk issues. And there are a lot of young ladies that are like that right today. They are children, teenagers, right today, that have grown folk issues because the parents are absent for whatever reason. But they're having to be an adult when they are children. So that's why they act womanish. That's why they act older, more mature than what they are, because they're dealing with things that they should not be dealing with. They're dealing with things that grown women should be dealing with.
Right.
As far as the, like you said, as far as the promiscuity and all that, you know, I was molested also. I was almost raped, you know. I mean, as a child, but that comes from my mother's negligence. You know, and not watching her child. But, you know, all of that, you know, I know that by me being molested, that had a lot to do with me being promiscuous.
Right.
Also, the way I came up, like I say, you know, by me being abandoned, I had most of everything I learned in the streets, how to hustle, how to get this, how to get that, you know. But, hey, one thing I learned now that I am saved and when I look back on my life, yeah, that was bad, but it could have been 10 times worse. You know, you look at someone else as always someone else that has been through something, if not the same, something worse than you have. But when I look back, I see God. I see the hand of God in my life. You know, even though those things happened to me, I used to cry and wonder all the time, why me, why me, why me? But God told me that he allowed those things to happen to me. I lived through them. I survived them for a reason, and it's to help someone else. It's to help someone else.
Isn't that something?
It wasn't for me. What I went through wasn't for me.
It's taken me a long time to realize that and accept that. Because I still have my moments. I tell a lot of people when I speak, they see me in all these pretty clothes and this makeup, and I love hair to me is like a pair of shoes, honey. I love it. I said, but you all have no idea the pain and the suffering I go through when I'm at home. I could be watching TV, driving another car, in the grocery store, at work. I don't care what. And if I have a moment, it is uncontrollable crying and hurt and anger and pain and the why. It's like you all see me when I'm out and polished. I always say there are so many tears behind my smile because people have no idea. I still really don't like to watch love movies. Like, is that for real? That really happened? I don't believe it. I'd rather watch a horror movie or somebody, I'm just saying, somebody killing. Because unfortunately, we're used to the negativity of life. So people really do fall in love and live happily. Yes, it happens. But when that's something that is not the norm, you kind of have like, I don't want to watch that because it didn't happen to me. So then it makes me I become sadder because it's like, why me? Why, God, I have to go through the negative. Like people really, and then for us, we think, so your dad didn't touch you? Oh, so you wasn't raped? You know, it's like, huh? But then people who live normal lives say, what? Your dad touched you. What? Your dad raped you. I'm looking at them like, so your dad didn't do that? Because that's our norm.
That's right. That's right. And I'm the same way. What? You ain't never been in a beach relationship? I know you have. Girl, you not in a relationship. You to be, hey, now a man ever hit you. They never pulled your hair.
A lot of them just don't realize it because a lot of them don't know all the signs. I actually had a lady to come up to me Sunday, and after she found out we were doing the TV now, and she basically said, I would like to talk to you, she said, because I don't know all the signs, so I can't actually say whether I've been abused or not.
I've met women like that said the same thing. I didn't know that I was being, I didn't know that was abuse. I didn't know that it was abuse until someone told me that it was abuse.
Yeah. He said, what I'm calling my norm, I said, exactly, may be abuse. But at least she got it.
That's right. And that's the thing. And that's where we come in at. We must raise awareness. We have to let the women know because, remember when we didn't know? We didn't know that we were being abused. I told you I thought it was love. I thought if he wasn't grabbing me around my neck, you know, telling me I can't go here and I can't go there. Oh, he loved me. He don't want me to go. He just jealous. Jealousy is abuse. That's not normal. That's not normal. Jealousy to the point where they're controlling you. No, that's not love. My pastor, Pastor Dixon, preached a couple of weeks ago. I forgot the topic of the sermon, But what he was talking about was what love is. I think it was love, real love versus fake love.
Mm-hmm.
And Pastor Dixon said three things what love is. He said love, help me, Lord. He said love protects you. He said love provides for you. And love promotes you.
Mm.
He said, if they're not doing those three things, if they don't provide for you, protect you, and promote you, they don't love you. And I'm telling you
the
right today, the three P's, I am basing the relationship, and that's not just a relationship with a man and a woman, with anyone you
mm-hmm.
come in contact with. They're saying,
right.
I love you, sis. I love you, sis. Well, if they are not promoting you, providing for you, you know, providing, helping you, if they're not providing, protecting, and what was the other one, promoting you, it's not love.
Mm-hmm.
And so when that guy
that's
tries to come back,
beautiful.
I love you, baby. I still love you. I'm going to love you. I don't care what you do. I don't care if you can be with me. I'm going to love you the rest of my life. No, you don't, because you didn't love me when you had me. How do I know that you didn't love me? Because you didn't protect me. You did not promote me, and you did not provide for me. That's how I know you
wow.
didn't love me. And if I have to base love off of those three P's, then that's what it is, what it is.
That's awesome.
And I thank Pastor Dixon for teaching me what love
yes.
is.
Yes. The three P's. I like that. I'm going to write that down. Promote.
He said love promotes, love protects,
provide.
And love provides.
Provide. Mm-hmm. I already wrote it down.
Yes, I love that. We might be using that on the show Friday, next Friday. God,
yeah,
right.
That's relationship. Anything that I wanted to do, he cut me off. He cut me down. Nah, that ain't you. You need to do this. You need to do that. You know, anything that I like to do, anything that made me feel like a woman, now you need to do this. Well, you're not promoting me. You tear me down.
Right. And
so
that's
letting
me
know you don't love
me.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow.
You're not pushing me to do better. No, you know, you want me to do what you want me to do. See, now, you want me to do what you, as long as I'm doing how you want me to do, then you're promoting that. But what you're not accepting is that I'm my own woman. I have my own
mm-hmm.
goals. I have my own life. I have my own. That's what you're not promoting. You're not promoting me.
Your individuality.
As a woman that I am.
What makes you who?
That's right. You're
yes.
not promoting. That's right. That's right. You're
wow.
not protecting me. Because when I pillow talk with you and you tell my business, when I tell you, when I confide in you the things that I went through as a child, and then you meet my mother and you don't like her because of things that I pillow talk with you. And you lash out at my mother and you throw up everything that I pillow talk with you about my mother.
Wow. He's trying to make a wedge even further between you. That's not what you do.
That's not what you
wow.
do.
Wow.
And that's not
what
love.
You do. No.
You're not protecting me. So you're not protecting me. You're not promoting me. And providing, when you know that I have rent, you know that I have bills, you're not helping me on my bills, you're not providing for me. But you want to be in my bed every night.
Right.
But you know I have bills. Do you want to sit on the side and watch me struggle to pay my bills and then talk down on me? Because you say I'm not managing my money? Because once I paid all my bills, I don't have any money to take you out to eat? No.
Hmm.
Selfishness.
You're not providing for me. You don't love me.
Mm-hmm. That's something else. Because I know in my marriage, I had to have permission to buy a pack of gum. And I was a breadwinner. I was the one that was working. He wasn't. So I can relate on that, too, with the financial abuse. And a lot of women don't understand that you can be financially abused. Because what you make your money, you should be able to spend, and I say spend, that includes paying bills, financially handling your responsibilities on your, you know, make decisions, and then you discuss, but not be told where your money goes and how you spend it. That's financial abuse. And that was me. And we have young ladies that get paid in a boyfriend-girlfriend relationship, and he's spending her money and stack it, as they say, the young folks say, stack it. It may be something else they use now. But he's not spending his money, he's spending yours. But you feel obligated,
right.
And all, I don't want to make him mad. That's financial abuse. And it's so many things that occur and happen that as women and as young teenage girls, we really don't know the signs. We really don't understand.
When young teenage girls, my daughter mentioned to me that there's a female couple at her school, and one female brings the other female an allowance every Thursday. And I'm like, wow, look how young. what were you just talking about? There it is, right there in the high school.
Wow.
Yep.
And unfortunately, the female that's bringing the allowance, unless she's introduced to something else, that's how she's going to be for the rest. She's going to be the abuser unless she's introduced to the correct way to treat a woman. And I say that because that's what we have to deal with today in society. It's whomever you're with. So unless we teach that young lady how to treat whomever she's with, that's how she's going to be, period. And then the young lady that's receiving the allowance, if she doesn't think she's worth more than that, we're in high school. How do you put me on my parents? If my parents have not put me on allowance, who are you to put me on an allowance? But because no one is in that poor baby's life to show her, to teach her, to inform her, to educate her, to surround her with love and show her, this is not the way of life. Unfortunately, that's okay with her. She thinks she's special because, hey, my girlfriend's giving me money. What's yours doing? And that's how she's seeing that. She's not seeing that she's being controlled and manipulated and being handed, this is all you can spend. You can't spend no more. When I'm giving you, that's it. That's all. She's not looking at it that way.
No, she's blinded by that. Yeah, she's blinded with that by something else.
Right.
By something else.
Wow. And that's just one scenario. Stephanie and I have been in, like I said, we've been in these high schools. We've seen these girls. We've even dealt with young men. We've even dealt with a teacher that broke down on us at a school that had been molested and abused and sexually abused as a child, and he broke down on us in the room as we were trying to help a teenage girl. He had a moment. So many people, and really in actuality, it doesn't matter how old you are, it doesn't matter what sex you are, it doesn't matter what kind of relationship you're in. It is so many people that are hurt, so many people that need guidance. And, you know, I say unfortunately because of what we went through, but fortunately we are God's chosen children because we survive things that people cannot and will not survive. People that have gone through what we've gone through, they don't even understand how do you sit here talking to me like that's the norm, because for me that is my norm. And God chose us to be those examples, to lead, to speak. Because I have an associate. She has an organization, and it's called Silent Screams. The name is powerful, but it's her organization is for those survivors who cannot speak. It doesn't matter what you say, do. It does not matter. They cannot speak on what happened to them. Then you have We Are Survivors, and we are vocal. And we're vocal for those ones who can't be.
Okay.
We are in your face yes, this happened to me, but look at what God has brought me through. As we say, I don't look like
what
I've
been
through.
Mm-hmm.
I don't look like it. You
right.
People hear my story, and they be like, what? They looking at me like I'm crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at them like, you crazy. Look at God, what God can do.
That's right.
Don't look at me like I'm crazy. But you got to look at me and say, wow, you serve a powerful God. And that's what We Are Survivors is about. We Are Survivors is showing people what God can do. If He has given the opportunity, there is no problem too big or too small for Him, because you're going through what you're going through, because He wants you to reach out to Him, because you've got to give Him all the glory. There's no way that we survived what we survived, being able to sit here and talk about it. We may cry and have our moments, but maybe at the end of those tears, we're smiling and we're thanking God, because if it wouldn't be for Him, we wouldn't be able to sit and help women like us, children like us, even men like us. We're the example. God chose us. And sometimes I'd be like, God, oh my God, really? Why me? But I know it's an honor to know your purpose in life.
Mm-hmm.
To know why you was put here on earth, because there's so many people
mm-hmm.
that are walking around here lost. We're not lost.
That's right.
We're not lost. So I got on my soap opera box, but it's just I'm thankful for what God, He took me through it, but He protected me along the way.
Yes.
And because God protected
me
along the way, I'm able to share and show other women and other that teenage girl touched me, so that we're going to start a teenage group called Ties Butterflies, and she's gonna head that, because she's gonna be able to motivate and talk to these teenagers. She's hurting, she's crying, she's going through a lot herself, but you, because you're
mm-hmm.
that age group, you can help. They're
mm-hmm.
going to open up to you and feel more comfortable with talking to you than they might be with me, because I'm not a teenager no more.
Perfect.
I may act like it sometimes.
My daughter
excited
has a lot
about
of get her for, with a lot. You know, because they're her versus going to a counselor or whatever. They will come to her, and you know, they just feel comfortable coming to her. So I have to keep her covered because of that.
Well, we're going to have, Saturday, we're going to have a Facebook page, like I said, called Ties Butterflies. It's going to have We Are Survivors in parentheses, but it's going to be for the teenagers. I mean, the teenagers will have
mm-hmm.
some place to go. We're going to reach out to them, because our children are left behind. I have opened up the lines. So if you're on the line, if you're listening, and if there is something that you want to say, you're mic'd up. Is there anyone that wants to say anything that's been on the show listening?
Yes. This is Ann again. I spoke last week.
Uh-huh.
And I just want
Welcome
to say
back.
That, hi, how you doing?
I'm good, love.
I just wanted to say the group that you said you were starting about the young teenager or whatever, I think that will be a good option. I mean, that is awesome, because even I wish they had that back when I was going through, you know, so, because that would have been me giving my time to speak out, like what was happening to me or whatever. And I mean, that is an awesome idea.
Thank you. It actually is Ty's idea. It's her idea. I'm just helping her. I'm going to mentor her, because she wants to help young teenage girls.
Well, that is the awesome idea. I mean, she went all out with that one. That is so good. Yes.
Thank you. So, somebody else that wants to say something?
Yes, my name is Vanessa.
Hi.
Can you hear me? How are you?
Yes, we can. How are you? Great. Thanks for joining the show.
Oh, very welcome. It was my pleasure. My pleasure. Here, you know, I own a no-fault organization for helping victims from rape and family violence, and to hear what y'all are talking about today for me is a blessing and amazing. I just want to emphasize what y'all saying about the fact that, you know, we need to work with the young, you know, the young people, because they are the new generation, and a lot of these kids, they don't have like a value, you know, they don't have a vision about what is, you know, what is up there for them. And we need, sometimes they need people from outside to help them, you know, visualize their new life. And I'm saying that because, you know, I come from family violence, and was not because my mother, I probably would not be here today to tell my story. You understand? So I think my parents was a guiding, she's a guiding me at a young age, telling me what is good, what is bad. And I think we should, you know, what y'all think of for me is, I think is amazing. We need more of that.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Wow,
thank you.
Is there anyone else with a comment? Okay. Well, if you want to say something, everyone's mic is live. No one is muted. So if you want to say something, you have time to get your thoughts in and your comments. We are here every Thursday from 6 to 7. As I said earlier on the show, We Are Survivors now have a live streaming live television show. And it's kind of set up like a radio show as well. And if you go on Facebook, and it's We Are Survivors with Wanda McKinley, if you like the page, where our shows are every first and third Friday of the month. And we are elated because Sonya will be able to actually come. One thing about the show that we are excited about, Seth and I are excited about, you actually now get to see faces. You get to see survivors. You get to see us and our smiles. You get to see our tears. You get to see our body language. You get to not only hear us, but get to know us face to face. Get to be able to, because for me, I can talk to somebody on the phone, but when I see them, it's a completion. Oh, wow. I have a visual. Some of us are visual learners. Some of us are audio. Some of us are tangible. We all receive and retrieve information differently. So I'm excited about the live streaming television show that is set up as well as a radio show. And those tonight that had comments, those of you all that are on the show, we thank you for your support. We need it. Sonya, I'm so proud of you. I am so proud of you.
Thank you.
Because
yes, to God
as
be
a
the
survivor,
glory.
Yes, we know how hard it is to say I was abused. We know how hard it is to say this happened to me, or I was raped, this person violated me. It is so hard to say those words. It is so hard to get in front of an audience. Every time someone puts a mic in my hand, I'm trembling, I get emotional,
yes.
And I get choked up. It doesn't matter how many times I say this. I say my same introductory spiel every week. I should have it memorized back and forth. So when I get in front of a crowd, it should come out very easily. It does not. This does not get easy.
Mm-hmm.
Period. So I commend you and I thank you. Because like I said, I've been speaking my truth now for 2 years. And it's still hard for me. It's still hard. So I want to thank you. For your strength.
All right. Well, thank you for having me on your show.
Yes. Thank you. And we're all
giving me an opportunity. Okay. And I want to thank you for giving me an opportunity to share my story. Like I say, you know, I told you earlier, I'm still in recovery. I'm still in recovery. And you told me that, you know, some of us will be in recovery for the rest of our lives. But you know what?
Right.
I'll take that. If I can help somebody else, I'll take that. If I can help somebody else. I have daughters, too. I have four daughters. And that's another reason that
it's very important to me to speak up about this silent epidemic that is affecting our neighbors. You know, it could be happening right next door and we won't even know because it's silent.
Yeah.
I just want to say this to the audience that's listening. I hope it's younger teenagers as well, that it's never too late to get out. It's never too late to get out. It's never too late to get help. I know that you're afraid because he's telling you if you leave, he's going to kill you. He's telling you if you leave, he's going to kill your parents. The devil is a liar. Get out. Get out. Get help. The story I told you today was just a topic. It was just a surface. It wasn't even in depth. But I almost lost my life several times in not just one relationship. Get out. It's never too late to get out and get help. Tell someone. You don't have to live with that alone. Tell somebody that will tell somebody that will get you help. I'm done. God bless y'all.
God bless you, and thank you so much. I look forward to having you on our television show. Thank you, Sonya, for being obedient. That's first. You were obedient.
Yes, ma'am.
And for you going to your pastor and saying, hey, this is what I've gone through. I just thank you for being obedient. Because like I said, this our journey. I always say we're on the same journey, but God takes us down different paths.
Yes, ma'am.
Our goal is to bring his children to him. Our way of bringing it to him is different from somebody else's. So
yes.
I thank you. I'll be praying for you.
Thank you.
You have some more sisters, honey. You have some more support. We're here. And we'll be reaching out.
Yes, ma'am, I'm going to be with y'all, too.
Yes. Cause
I will be right here with y'all. Well,
we accept you.
I thank you.
Thank y'all for accepting me.
And if you missed the earlier part of the show with Miss Sonya Moore, then it will be on Facebook. It will be on her Facebook page. And we'll be on We Are Survivors Facebook page. If you want to hear her story, please go back and listen to it. Normally, we would go into what we have, our fundraising event. We didn't get to that today, but what we will do is go over our events that we have coming up. We do have a black tie event. Next Saturday is a black tie benefit for We Are Survivors. Please, 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 we always ask that you come out and support. It is not only is it a fundraising event, but it is also a domestic violence awareness event. And it is called the Sophisticated Sip. It is, a black tie benefit concert. The doors open at 6. It's from 6 to 10. You can go to www.runconference.org. Again, it's www.runconference.org. That is next Saturday, March 18th, from 6 to 10. It is located at San Tony's Event Center, 2229 Avenue J in Arlington, Texas. And then, once again, we have a free second annual Survivors Luncheon. This is sponsored by Annie's Gifts of Love. Even though it's free, you still have to go register so that you can sit at the We Are Survivors table. It's a beautiful event. You'll love it. It's very educational and uplifting. If you go to www.anniesgiftsoflove.org, that's AnniesGiftsOflove. www.anniesgiftsoflove.org. Please go out there and register. You don't want to miss it. So you can sit at the We Are Survivors table and enjoy a wonderful meal and wonderful presentations and speakers free, because this is for survivors. We've got to stick together. Thank you for being on our show today. And again, thank Ms. Sonya Moore. Please free to contact me or Stephanie.
Give her Facebook page out spelling her name.
You said her Facebook or our Facebook?
Her Facebook.
It is Queen Sonya. Queen Sonya, all one word. Queen Sonya Moore, M-O-O-R-E. You can go to her Facebook page as well.
Sonya with an I or a Y?
It's Queen, and it's S-O-N-I-A. Yes, Sonya. You're right. Thank you, Stephanie. I wasn't thinking about that.
You're welcome.
Because I'm looking at it. So once again, we want to thank you all for listening. If there's any questions or comments, please go to WeareSurvivorsFoundation.org. You can send us an email. The direct number is 214-454-2933 or Stephanie's number, 817-320-2571. Send us an email at WeareSurvivorsFoundation@gmail.com. We want to thank God for you listening, for you being a part of the show. And we're here Thursday, 6 to 7 p.m. Central Time. And we also have, like I said, a television show every first and third Friday from 7 to 9. We're going to get this information out. We're going to be in your face when it comes to domestic violence awareness. You will hear us. We'll be there. We're not going away. Thank you again for being a part of our show this evening. Have a good night. Thank you.